This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll have Jermaine Illuminor coming up in just a few minutes. BT, looking forward to talking to him. Giants are a mess. And, you know, the more, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but we had so much to get to that we didn't really dive into any one specific topic with, you know, the Yankees in the World Series, the Mets season ending, the Jets and Giants, both horrific losses. You know, the Giants, the more I think about it, the more unsure I am of what they're going to do. I believe in Brian Daboll. He's the one thing that I firmly believe in with this organization. But everything else seems to be up for debate on whether, you know, Joe Shane could do the job. Obviously, we know the quarterback and, you know, where they're at with the roster overall. They are again, a mess. And I don't see a way out of it anytime soon for this team. When's it going to change with the Giants? And even though I believe in
Brian...
Not
this year. Yeah. Promise you that.
Okay, but is it going to change next year?
Probably not.
Okay, right. So then what are we doing here? And even as much as I believe in Brian Daboll and do fundamentally just agree that he is a legitimate, solid, good NFL head coach, his record is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can't keep... And some of it is his fault, the way that they lose these games, whether it's the Washington game...
With the kicker.
Yeah, whatever. Like, yep. Certain things that have happened, you know, the Cowboys game and decisions that they make or bad decisions... Like, at some point, they actually have to win games and be competitive. No, otherwise it's going to be start all over again, and Shane and Daboll aren't the guys.
I think there's a real chance, maybe 50-50, that whatever the narrative is about the Giants now, it shifts radically, and it gets really ugly before the end of the year. Think about what's happening here. They still can't beat Dallas, who's not even good.
Right.
They still can't beat Philly. They don't score at home. They've scored 6 points, 15, 7-3.
How is that possible?
Because they don't have a quarterback, which is the next topic. They don't have an offensive line. And what's worse, and we'll talk to our buddy Jermaine Illuminor coming up next year, BT and Sal, about 15 minutes. And we got some tough ones for him today, respectfully. But when you start seeing players duck away from tackles, as Deontay Banks right. is now doing, that now has to trickle uphill to the coach, whether it's completely connected to it, unfair, partially fair, it doesn't matter. The optics for the Giants are worsening.
Dude, what is up with Deontay Banks? I loved this guy a year ago. He was one of the standout players for me watching the Giants every week. I know people get caught up in sexy decks, which they should. He's a stud.
Superstar.
Or Kayvon Thibodeau. And I was like, I still want to see more consistent effort and results from him. I know he's hurt now, whatever. But Deontay Banks a year ago, I thought was a budding star.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he's not even playing. So it's not about his skill. Something is off with him. Like, he's not even trying. How do you drop off that much from what was a promising season a year ago? I don't understand what's going on with the Giants and Banks specifically.
It's, you know, if I didn't know this, and we do know this, but I'm saying if we didn't see them actually make the playoffs a couple of years ago,
yeah,
it would feel like just a real losing, almost Jets-like culture, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not there because I do feel like a foundation is being at least laid.
Okay,
if not
where?
Built.
Now, I mean, so where's the? It's not on the offensive
right.
line.
Well, I mean,
it's not on the offense.
Yeah, but you the offensive line to me, both lines, the Giants in the trenches, the interior offensive line play and defensive line play has been solid at the very least this year. I mean, they dominated that game in Seattle. The O-line has been better. Now, Thomas goes down. It's going to change things on the offensive line significantly. But it can't always just be about one player. So to me, at least. This team, while they don't have as much talent as you would like, they still have been competitive and winning some maybe more games than people thought initially. Mm. But now here we are through 7 weeks, they're 2-5.
Well, so I look at it this way, Sal. I didn't mean to cut
yeah,
you off.
Yeah, no, it's
bad.
Okay.
But like when you're solely dependent as they seemingly are, because the numbers dictate that they have looked more functional with Andrew Thomas, but
right.
the moment he gets hurt, they give up 8 sacks. So I understand there are star left tackles, and he's one of them. But the absence of a star tackle, even at left tackle, shouldn't have the other four guys completely implode.
Right, I know.
I mean, that means that the rest of the line, and Jermaine's fine, but there's other problems here. So to me, it's just... Optically, I hate to be repetitive, but it's starting to look like a team that's a little disinterested, very disjointed, very uncommitted in certain spots to effort. And when that happens, I'm sorry, everything's on the table at some point, and I think it will be this year. The other thing, too, yeah, I mentioned they still haven't proven that they could beat Dallas or Philly. What happens if the Commanders roll them?
Right.
With their young quarterback, yeah. And now it's like, because you can always say up until this year, well, all right, you know, Dallas has Dak, and they got this, and they got that, and they're just ahead of the program, which was fine, and the Eagles have this, and Hurts, and defense, and weapons, receivers, and they're ahead of the program, which they still are. But it was always like, well, the Commanders are still kind of here, and if the Giants could do this and that, maybe they can bite into that Dallas and Philly gap, which they haven't done yet, and now it's the opposite. The team that they were either slightly above or slightly below is now soaring past them.
Oh, well, past everybody.
So, well, true.
Yeah.
So now you look at the Giants, you're like, they're the worst team in the division. And it's not even close.
It's not even close. I mean, they've already lost everybody.
So how is that acceptable?
It's not.
Why should it be acceptable?
And by the way, just because I believe Brian Daboll is going to be a good NFL head coach or has the potential to be a good NFL head coach doesn't mean it's right. And maybe I'm, for whatever reason, just falsely believing in something that I'm seeing in him, whether it's his temperament, his attitude, and ignoring the overall big picture and the results. Now, we did see them get to the playoffs 2 years ago with a crappy roster and a quarterback who I think is god-awful. Okay, so that's one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, where the season, everybody was hurt and a real chance to go off the rails, they did right the ship to a certain extent. Even this year, they're playing in these games. They're competitive. Even in some of the losses, but you got to, like, the Bengals game, the Cowboys game, the Washington game, they should have at least won one of those games. Had they won one of those games, it would have been different. Getting blown out by the Eagles at home, that was a bad look. And I'm not making excuses with Thomas being injured. To me, that's not enough. My biggest issue with the Giants is their wrong belief in Daniel Jones dating back to after 2022. Mm-hmm. You want to say prior to 2022, whatever. I mean, and Joe Shane has made some horrible picks that's costing the team. So there's a lot going on that's wrong, and it's hard to identify what would be the things that you would keep about this team. And
not much.
I mean, think about it. Dable's an offensive guy, and they can't score points. Like, in a league where teams fall into points, the crappiest teams score points.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the Giants make it feel like it's pulling teeth to score a touchdown. It shouldn't be that hard. Good God. I mean, it's year after year the same thing. Why? So then the question is, how are they going to fix it? I think the owner's at fault here for believing in Jones. Shane's
absolutely
at fault.
Culpable.
Shane's at fault for not putting together a good enough roster
absolutely.
Here in year three. Daboll has made some mistakes. I still believe in him, but he's made some mistakes. The talent is just not good enough. The players are not good enough. Like, it's a total mess.
They're not good. I mean, this is not by accident. They've had one good year in over a decade. The Giants are a broken franchise. They're broken.
And
there's the Giants lore, which at least Giant fans have and Jet fans don't, as I juxtapose that. But, like, the lore, it's dusty. Like Yankee lore until this year. Like, what are you doing for us now? And right now, the Giants aren't getting better. They're getting lapped by teams in their division. The Commanders are soaring past them and really past everybody,
right.
As you said. The Giants have the second worst point differential in the NFL. Second! We're going to watch their quarterback play on Monday. Is that Sunday or Monday? It's Monday, right?
Monday,
yeah. Night.
Well, and it's against the World Series, so.
Well, so we're not going to watch them. We'll flip on SportsCenter at 12:27 at night and find out that they lost again. And Daniel Jones is 1-15 in primetime. I mean, when does the charade end? And I haven't just bagged on Daniel Jones because it's fun. Like, I've actually defended him. You've defended him. We've kind of got a little bit up and down.
Right.
We've had some fluctuations in our belief for Daniel Jones. But if the Giants run him out there, past this week against the Steelers, they are asking for trouble. There's no way they can be on a $25 million hook next year with the injury guarantee, and they got to start talking about internally. Don't tell me post-game press conferences that Daniel Jones is still your quarterback. What's got to happen is, let's call for what it is. You got to put him on ice, and he's got to sit, and that's it. And maybe, he can't play anymore.
Maybe the worst thing that this team did was win just enough games last year to stabilize things, but cost you a top pick.
Yeah.
And they might do the same thing again. Because they could, theoretically, I mean, they could beat Washington. They
you
want to
do
beat,
the game? You yeah, do I mean, it. You always ask me. I'm gonna. You're going to
you
do
it. You have it up or no?
I got it.
Okay.
All right, Giants schedule.
At
the
Pittsburgh.
The old game. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-da. All right. So, at Pittsburgh, Monday night.
I mean, call me crazy here, but I feel like because of the way the Giants play, it should be, and the way the Steelers play, it could be a closer game.
Yeah, win or loss. They're 2-5, Giants win or lose.
I have to, Mike, like, maybe by Monday I'll feel differently. Right now it's a loss.
All right, 2-6. All right, then they play the Commanders at home.
I mean, probably a loss.
Okay, 2-7. Then they play Carolina. We'll both give them a win. 3-8.
Although that's in Germany, not even at home.
That's
but anyway,
true.
Go ahead.
That is true. Then they're home against Tampa.
Probably a loss.
I agree. And then it's at Dallas.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Loss.
Yeah, 3-10 suddenly. Then it's the Saints who are a broken mess as well, so who knows?
The Saints.
All right, I'm going to give them that as well. 4-10. Then it's the Ravens. Loss. 4-11. Then it's in Atlanta.
Loss.
I tend to agree. 4-12.
I give them a win against the Colts.
You're going to give them the Colts? All right, that's 5-12. Then it's Philly, at Philly. Now, who knows? Well, Philly, the command, they're going to have to play that. They're not going to win the division going away, so they're going to be 5-13.
Okay.
They're going to be 5-12 if we give them a loss there.
Now, let's say they win one of those games even.
And they're 6-11?
Yeah, and even 5 is not going to be enough to get...
No, you're going to have to move up 3, 4, 5 slots and move mountains like they would have had to do a year ago to get Jaden Daniels.
Which
they should have done.
They added
and
Neighbors!
They
Everybody kept saying Neighbors! Oh, he's a stud. They can't score! Even with Neighbors back, they can't score. It's infuriating.
Hey, but he was open. As he told us.
And that's what I was saying. They need a quarterback. But goodness, even with me saying that I didn't believe in that pick because I know they needed a quarterback or with the job, I still thought they'd be better than this. Can't wait to talk to Illuminor. He'll be with us in 5 minutes. We'll take a quick break. BT and Sal on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Right now, we welcome in Jermaine Illuminor. This giant cone is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jermaine, I wish it were under better circumstances, but another bad effort from you guys. I was shocked and disappointed, honestly, with the way that the Eagles pasted you guys. I want to start, though, with the offensive line. What's going on? Are you going to be moving over here? Is Azudu able to handle this with the absence of Thomas? How are you guys going to try to fix what's broken on the offensive line after the absence of Thomas?
Yeah, I think, easy I think he did a good job. Obviously, the sacks were a little technique things. But if you go back and watch the tape in the second half, it was really quiet on his side, especially him going against a great player like Josh Sweat. So I think it was good for him to go in there. And, you know, a lot of times with a young guy, it's kind of like trial by fire. And you have to go in there and get burned to realize what you have to do and what you have to work on in order to be better. So I think in the long run, this would be good for him and his confidence. I mean, obviously, offensive line-wise, we didn't play up to our standard. And we can do better to, you know, give DJ way more time in there, you know. So, yeah, we just need to try and be better.
And you guys have been a good unit all year long, and I know it's hard to lose Thomas, who's arguably the best left tackle in the league, but still you got to be better than what was shown Sunday. Was there any talk to you moving over there, Jermaine?
Me, personally, you know, I think people kind of don't understand how hard it is to move from one side to the other, and I don't really see a comparison to try and make it easier for the naked eye to understand how hard that is. Like, well, I'm sure I did it because I was under certain circumstances and I was really trying to show people my value. And this year, I feel like I'm showing my value at right tackle and just how, you know, good I can be there. And, you know, I think I'm getting the best there and my comfortability and how comfortable I am there. So I think that I can help the team more by sticking there and, you know, giving left tackle, whoever it is, more help and just leaving me on an island. That's just how confident I am going against whoever it is I have to go against, especially this week. So, yeah, I mean, if it was up to me, I would stay over there and, you know, give the team more flexibility to slide to the left more and, you know, give Izzy the help if he needs it. But, I mean, a lot of times, too, he was on an island also. And he held up pretty damn well, if you ask me. Like I said, he's a young guy being thrown into the fire at left tackle with all eyes on you in New York. So obviously everything's going to be heightened. And, you know, like I said, he knows that the two sacks he could have done better. But he learned from that in-game and improved in-game, which was really cool to see.
Yeah. Well, you know, not everybody has such a favorable view of the left side of the line. Really, the entire line. I want to play something for you, and I want to get your reaction. So this is arguably the greatest of all time. Bill Belichick, yesterday with McAfee on your offensive line.
The Giants thing, I don't really understand. He was their best player. You know, for a couple million dollars more, they could have kept him, I guess. You know, instead they got a guard or somebody, I don't know, the offensive line doesn't look very good. Bruce. I mean, they're playing a guy at left tackle who shouldn't be playing left tackle. Evan Neal is drafted in the first round. He doesn't play. You know, they have some UFA guards that are pretty suspect. It's a tough line. And honestly, I thought that, you know, the quarterback is trying to hang in there. It's been tough sledding.
Now, I know that that's got to make you angry, but is that unfair how Belichick characterizes those five guys on the offensive line?
You know, Bill was my coach before, and, you know, I talk about how much I disliked New England. So, you know, whatever Bill thinks is what Bill thinks. You know, everyone's free to have their opinion. I don't really care about his opinion. But, you know, we've been one of the best units when it comes to pass blocking in the league. And then also run blocking wise, when we had the opportunity to run block, we've been pretty damn good too. So, like I said, I could care less what a coach outside the building, who's not even coaching right now, has to say. And that's not a shot towards him.
Yep.
And obviously, he's a legendary coach. But, yeah, I could care less what someone outside the building has to say about our unit when we've been one of the best in the league. So, yeah, there's a lot of worse situations than ours right now. So, once again, I stick with my guys and I ride for my guys 24/7. And we've been against some pretty damn good defensive lines and done our thing. So, you know, like I said, just watch us this week on Monday Night Football and we'll see what Bill's saying after that.
I respect that. And listen, you've projected that from the first time we've had you on the show. You're a straight shooter. You got a lot of pride. I'm sure you're a great teammate. But the bottom line is you guys got to score some points. And this isn't just the offensive line. This is everything at home. 6 points, 7 points, 3 points. Why don't you guys score?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously everyone, there's a lot of reasons why that doesn't happen. But at the end of the day, if me as an offensive lineman is the right tackle, if I try to worry about the things that I can't control, then that would just drive me insane. So, you know, I try to preach to the guys and all the young guys and just the team in general, you know, you got to control what you can control. Like, I can't control how many points are scored at the at MetLife or in a game in general. I can control blocking the guy in front of me and doing a damn good job of doing that. So, you know, it, obviously we need to score more. We have a, in my opinion, we have a Super Bowl contending defense, but offense, we just haven't played the part and played up to that standard and that level.
But why not? Why? You see the film. Why not? What's wrong?
I just think we just need to all do a better job just executing. And, you know, if there's one person making a mistake, and, like, for instance, if they, like, the offensive line lets up a pressure when Malik or Slate or Wendell is wide open, it's one of those things. And, you know, sometimes it can be good, like, protection and just no one's open or the defense just does a really good job of covering all the receivers. And, you know, so it's people just taking turns doing things that ultimately are going to hinder the offense and hold us back from doing what we need to do.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Jermaine Illuminor of the Giants, of course. How about Deontay Banks, Jermaine? I'm sure you've seen the film. I mean, it's just unacceptable. And he's a player that I liked last year. You weren't here last year. I know that. Deontay Banks was, I thought, a good young player a year ago. But when you see that type of effort, what's going through the locker room when a guy dogs it like that?
He knows that. I mean, we all know, you know, obviously he can be better. He's a great player. He's a great teammate. He's a great person. And obviously, he's upset with his effort, and he knows that he will do better. And, you know, obviously, the NFL is a standard, so he understands that, and he knows that. So, you know, I think that one thing being in New York that I've learned is a lot of the negatives will be heightened instead of the positives, you know. And that Tay's played his ass out the last couple of weeks. You know, you've seen some of the number of receivers he's gone against, and he's been doing a tremendous job against them, so... You know, that's not Tay. Tay knows that. And like I said, Tay's been great this year. But it's just those little things that the young guys go through that they just have to get out their game and their system, which I think he's doing a better job of. But, you know, I think people forget he's only a second-year guy being us to be on the island against some of the best receivers in the league. You see, he played against A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, D.K. Metcalf, like all these freaking tremendous receivers. And he's done a great job against them being a second-year guy holding his own on an island. So I think that, like I said, it's just little growing pains that a lot of the young guys go through. I certainly went through them. Shoot, I went through them last year, and it was my seventh year. So, like I said, just little growing pains that I think here they break that habit and they break that tendency and they become even a better player because of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you as far as thinking he's still a good player and I believe in him and it shouldn't be all negativity. However, that is unacceptable. And I know the head coach has an issue with it, but is that something that the players please? Like, Jermaine, there's no defending that. He could be a good player. He could be on an island by himself. He could still be a young player that's learning. Guys on a football field, quarterback's running toward you, and you don't try to tackle him. That would piss me off as a teammate. That doesn't upset you? The players don't police that? They just say, chalk it up for a young kid making a mistake?
I will say, too, that this isn't a knock on, you know, people who make the rules or the refs or anything, but a lot of days in today's NFL, sometimes when you hit the quarterback a certain way, you can get flagged for unnecessary roughness. Like you saw it against the 49ers and the Chiefs, you know, Patrick Mahomes looked like he was about to run out of bounds, and the defense, I think it was the linebacker, could have came and smoked him, but he didn't because he didn't want to get flagged, and Mahomes faked it and kept running upfield. So I think there has to be like a happy medium between, you know, if the quarterback is inbounds and you could hit him how you want, and if he's about to run out of bounds and, you know, if he's still in play, then you can still hit him. But I just think we've seen a lot of times that anytime a defensive player tries to smoke a quarterback, you know, refs are really quick to throw flags. So, you know, I don't know what Tay was thinking on that. I can't tell you what he was thinking. Like I said, he's a great teammate. He's a great player. And he's one of my guys. So, obviously, effort is a big thing in the league. And you have to give your all every single play. He understands and he knows that, too. So, like I said, I don't think you'll see that much on film anymore because they learn from that and grow from it.
There you go. I like it. All right, so we'll talk to Jermaine Illuminor of the Giants, of course. BT and Sal here on The Fan. Hey, I mean, right up there with the best fan bases in football, certainly in our city. Giant fans are awesome. It sounds a little different this year at MetLife and even points of last year. You weren't here. I get that. But you feel like the Giant fan has given up on this team this year? Like they don't believe that you guys can do anything?
You know, I feel like we just have to put a better product on the field for the fans. You know, it's the, I still think about that first game, and it was my first game at MetLife, and how, you know, I'm not really used to having home field advantage because I've been in Vegas for the last 3 years, and Vegas is such a hub that you tend to get a lot of these away fans coming to games. So a lot of times I had to, be in silent count at home. So this is kind of the first time in 3 years I've been able to actually use cadence at home and hear the quarterback go through his cadence and things. So, you know, it's a great fan base. Your fans are awesome here. You know, they show me nothing but love. And, you know, I try to go out there every single day and every single game and, you know, show them just how much I appreciate them through my play. But, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, we need to put a better product on the field to get these fans behind us. You know, that, like, I look at teams around the city, like the Knicks, the Mets, the Yankees, like those, like the MSG, Yankee Stadium. I don't know what MetLife Stadium is called. You have to forgive me. I think the City Field thing, I think.
Yep,
I'm not sure.
Yep, City Mets.
But,
yep.
You know, I've just seen those atmospheres. Those atmospheres have just been ridiculous because, you know, when you win in this state, in this area, the fan love is going to be ridiculous. So, you know, we need to be better for them. We need to put a better product on the field, and we need to, you know, give back to them because, you know, the fans give so much. And, you know, this is a fan-driven league, and, you know, it's great when you're winning in this league because the fans are going to be behind you, and it's hard for fans to be behind a team that's not winning. So, like I said, we need to do better on the field. We need to win more, and we need to just give the fans something to cheer about.
Listen, one of the things that we discuss, and this has nothing to do with you. I'm not even going to put you in a rough spot here. You don't even need to comment on the Jones stuff with the contract, the guarantee. That's that stuff for us. However, what I would like to know, like, what does Drew Lock bring to the table? If he's ever called to play regularly, what's he really good at? What do you see in practice?
Yeah, Drew's a hell of a teammate, a hell of a guy. You know, he's a really cool guy, too. I've seen him progress through the league, obviously, when he was in Denver and then when he was in Seattle, and, you know, he helped them win a couple of games. And just, like, the energy he carries is really cool, and it's really contagious, and the confidence he carries as well. You know, he's a great guy. He's a great teammate. He has a great arm, and he's able to make plays, and the swagger he has is, you know, it's really cool to see. And, you know, like I said, he's a great player. That's why he's in the position he's in, and that's why he's an NFL quarterback. You know, he started in this league a lot, and he has a lot of experience.
Yeah, you guys could use a little swag. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, we need to just, like I said, we just need to be better and execute better and just have more fun doing it and just have, like you said, just more swag. Like, a lot of the NFL offenses that are the best in the league, they have a swag to them. They have just that it factor to them, and we need that. But it's more so we just need to execute in order to get that. So, you know, I truly don't think it's that far off. And honestly, you know, like I said, a lot of people won't believe me or buy into it because it's been 7 weeks now. But, you know, I was looking at the records of a lot of teams, and there's a lot of teams where we're one game behind or one game in front of. So, you know, we're not the only team trying to figure that out. But, you know, the team that figures out the quickest is going to be the team that's the most successful that will have the Lombardi Trophy in February. So, and I'm not making any projections, nothing like that. I'm just saying that, you know, we're not the only team going through little growing pains right now, or, you know, we have like a wall in front of us we just need to smash down and get through. So, like I said, we'll get through that, and, you know, shoot, I can promise y'all that me, myself, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to do everything I can to help this team win and put this team in the best position that I can possibly do as a right tackle in this league.
Last one for you, Jermaine. You pumped me up before with your comments toward Bill Belichick. Oh, yeah, let's watch him against us, the Steelers, on Monday Night Football. Give Giant fans, give us a reason to believe in this team. So I'll be honest with you, I still do believe, not in playoffs necessarily, but I believe in Dable. I believe in your team in the trenches. Pump Giant fans up about why we should still believe that the season at 2-5 isn't over and you could right the ship Monday night in Pittsburgh.
I mean, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't always make comparisons, but you look at the Packers last year, I think they started 2-5 and they made it to the playoffs and went on a little run. And, you know, I'm not making any comparisons at all, but it's definitely doable. You just have to have the team buy in, but then also just, you know, the way we play the offensive line, the way we're going to play as an offensive line. And, you know, we've been against some great defensive lines, and this, I truly believe this is a O-line, D-line driven team. We have one of the best D-lines in the NFL. We have the best nose tackle, /3 tech in the NFL. Probably actually, I take that back. We have the best defensive player in the NFL in Dexter. We have one of the best ends in the NFL in Burns. You know, Bobby O is one of the best linebackers. Aziz is balling right now. Mike is balling. Our secondary is balling. You know, we have one of the best young receivers, if not one of the best receivers, period, in
neighbors. Slate is a great player. Lindell is a great player. Devin and Tracy are great backs. You know, Daniel, when he has the confidence to do it, is he can freaking sling it with the best of them, and he can run. And so this team has all the freaking talent that we need to win. We just need to put it together, which we will, and we're trying really hard to do. And then also, like I said, the offensive line, we're a real confident bunch. And me, individually, I'm going to go out there every single day and give it every day I've gotten. You know, I'm excited to go against TJ Watt this week. You know, I've been going against him for 3 years now. So
yep.
If Bill wants to watch someone play an offensive line, just tell him to watch me.
Whoa! Yeah, I like it!
All right.
Hey, we're going to get a little, like, if you pancake Watt or something, you're going to turn around and kind of mock or celebrate to the camera to Belichick. You got to give Bill a little shout-out some way, no?
Nah.
Yeah. You just let the play do the talking for you.
You have to do it consistently. You know, I've seen, you see all these guys, you know, you can't have one good play and then the next play you get a freaking sack. You know, so yeah. I don't believe in that. I just believe in just going out there and doing my job and just being confident doing it. And like I said, I'm a confident guy.
It's a humble warrior.
Love it, Jermaine.
Is.
Thank you for the time. We appreciate it. Good
nice
luck
job,
Monday
man.
Night.
Of course. Appreciate y'all.
I know it was tough, BT.
That's a tough spot to be in if you're him. And he's a gentleman, and he's all class. And I want to see a turnaround for him. But,
TJ
we just hit him tough. There wasn't one good thing to bring up, and it wasn't. Yeah. We don't want it. We prefer wins. We really do. But it's going south hard for the Giants.
I do think we got to do. I do think they have a chance Monday night, just because of the way that they play. It's going to be a defensive game, and again, a field goal kicker. You're going to have to make some field goals here.
Yeah, what's the spread? Did you say?
I did not.
Yet.
I would let me
I'm
guess.
I'm going to say 5.5.
Yeah,
Steelers.
I was going to say Pittsburgh by 4. Remember, it's Russell Wilson. Let's not overlook what they did against
Russ. He put up almost 40 the other day.
Against
Russ.
The Jets. The Giants defense is better. Yeah.
What's your guess, Sal?
I said 5.5.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are 6.5-point favorites.
It's a big number, man. Oof.
I would take the points with the Giants. But, I mean,
I wouldn't touch anything with the Giants right now. Honestly.
I know, and I keep losing. I keep getting sucked in, but Lumino pumped me up right there. He wasn't happy with Bill's comments.
That's okay. You know, well, then do something. Shut Bill up.
And that's what he said. Watch
shut him up.
Watch me on Monday. Look out. BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Hey, look, Jermaine Illuminor, you got to love him for coming on, BT. Unfortunately, the Giants are, I don't want to even say a mess right now, but losing the game the way that they did on Sunday, the record being what it is, I still expect better from them. It's year 3 now of Shane and Dable. They got to get things turned around. So I know we've been juggling a couple of different things today. Knicks open tonight, so we talked about that in case you missed any of it. We did the whole first hour on the Knicks. Check it out on the free Odyssey app. But with the Giants, I mean, at some point, even my belief in Dable or my belief in the defense or the offense, like, they got to start winning some of these games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Giant fans, first of all, I don't think Giant fans are disagreeing with what we're saying. And if you are, that's fine. I'd love to hear from you. But what do you want us to say? They can't score touchdowns, and now you got guys making business, or at least guy. I'm not trying to, overstate, not plural necessarily, but Banks making a business decision not to tackle the quarterback. You know, so it looks bad. You know, I mean, the seats were empty at the end of the game, except for the 30,000 Eagle fans who were still there. They can't score at home. What do you want us to say?
I mean,
they look terrible right now.
And the Deontay Banks thing was I like him as a player and still believe in him.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst things I've seen on a football field. The guy just didn't tackle.
Yeah,
and I get what Jermaine is saying. There is a lot of truth to what he said about, well, with quarterbacks now, you can't hit these guys. Yeah. But this was almost, it wasn't quite in the middle of the field, but it was not right along the sidelines.
It was not, because Banks was, I would say.
Well, by the way, just push him out. You don't have to tackle him. Just push him out.
That's true. Banks was probably, when he was in the vicinity, he was probably like initially 7 or 8 yards away from Jalen Hurts. So it's not like, yeah, I mean, listen, you saw the play. I saw the play. Right. We all saw the play. He didn't make the tackle. He didn't want to lower his pads. And I got news for you. You know, for a team that right now can use a spark, now I'm not advocating, getting a reckless penalty, clearly, but as a fan, what's going to sit better with you? Not making the tackle and going the other way and saying, you just keep going, or getting a 15-yard penalty? At least there's the satisfaction. All right, he's young. It was late. It was a little dumb, even though the game was over. I think it was 21-3 at that point, start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But at least it shows us that you're playing still.
Right.
Well, as a fan, you pay money. You want to see a guy say, I'm not going to tackle, or I tackled too late, I got a penalty, and I learn a lesson for the next time. I know my answer.
You certainly just can't run by him. And by the way, the coach on the sideline was yelling
at him. Yes, he was.
Which you should be.
Oh, he got lit up in film. Now, Jermaine was great. You know, he said it the right way. He said he didn't run away from that. There's got to be more effort. He's not going to bury a teammate. We don't expect
expect him to. We don't want to put him in that position. Jermaine Illuminor is a thoughtful, good, decent man. But I don't really know from a topic perspective, like, what else could we ask him? Everything right now is negative.
Well, I was curious, though, if that's something that, like, Dable, you saw how Dable addressed it, saying, like, we addressed that in-house.
I did. And that's always
what
he says.
But is that something that players, like, if you're on the team and you're giving your all every play, and you see that, like, isn't that's a spot where somebody like Jermaine or a veteran would go off the bench and be like, bro, what was that? Like, you can't be doing that. And I'm saying they didn't. That's why I wanted to ask him. He is a player on the team.
It was a very good question. Now, you do that. Maybe do that in the cafeteria. Maybe you shoot him a text. Maybe you go get a beer. Maybe you get a cup of coffee. Maybe whatever. Maybe you pick him up. You take him to the facility. Whatever it might be. But that's where leadership flexes. And the only problem is, even though Jermaine, because he's a respected figure, he's a good man, not that he doesn't have the latitude to do it. That's got to come from a defensive player. Right now, the Giants offense can't be asking questions about anybody, because if you do that, hey, you know, Deontay, why'd you do that? Now, he very well might say, well, why don't you score a touchdown? Give us a chance to win. I mean, then it gets worse.
And now we get
all
the
So let somebody, let Burns, let, you know, let a defender, let Dexter Lawrence, let somebody like that say it.
Chris is in Tinton Falls. What's up, Chris?
Hey, boys, how are you?
Chris.
Yeah, guys, doing a great job. Got to tell you, you've rapidly become, in my opinion, the best show on The Fan right now. So keep it up, dudes. I like where you're going.
Thank you, Chris.
We appreciate it.
Thank very nice.
You're welcome, boys. Great interview with Illuminor. I really like him. It's funny, you can hear moments, too, when he says certain words like can't. You can hear that little bit of a British accent.
It sounds so much smarter than we do.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, the guy is so studious. Nevertheless, guys, I did, you know, I got to disagree with you here, Sal. I don't have the faith in Dable that you do, and I'll tell you why. I think he looks like a really good play caller. I give him that. But I think, like, you often give him credit for the season not falling apart last year, and you can. And I think he gets some, but I also think part of that is player leadership. One of the guys that will move on from it that they moved on from, they didn't value him, and he stuck it up their butt the other day. But things like Deontay Banks not making a play, that also speaks to coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you expect a guy like Dexter, you hope, because he's their best player, unequivocally. Dex is their best. But I really believe, guys, Shane has had good moments. He's had some pretty bad ones. Third rounder for Darren Waller. Yeah, that's a bad one.
Yep.
Darren Waller, rather. Devin Singletary, you paid him $5 million. He's not showing he's worth $5 million.
Evan Neal?
That's like Evan Neal, disaster. Thibodeau, good player, not a great player, maybe a weak draft. I don't know if I give these guys the latitude. I think they really need to. Mara really needs to look in the mirror and say, how much do I need to break this down?
Yeah, but here's the one problem, and really good call. Here's the problem. Every time Mara's looked in the mirror the last couple of years, the wrong thing has looked back at him in the reflection.
He's been part of the problem.
Of course he's been a part of the problem.
Daniel Jones specifically. We all saw it. You saw it on Hard Knocks. Even the love for Bob, I'll tell you. Like, he didn't. Ultimately, Mara let Shane make the football decision when it came to Saquon Barkley. But that's like, for us, and whatever walk of life, or whatever your job is, put yourself in that same spot. Like, if our boss comes in here and says, yeah, you can talk about the Knicks to start if you want, I'd go football.
Yeah, they're going to make you think twice.
Well, right, so then what are we going to do? Like, oh, we really think we should be talking Knicks, but he said football.
Yeah. If you Boomer Geo, you do whatever you want.
Well, right. Well, so Mara could come in and say, yeah, you can do what you want, but I don't know. It'd kill me to lose Saquon Barkley.
I know.
So that, and we know what happened with Daniel Jones, and I think that's the biggest issue here is that I just wish, and I screamed and yelled about it, whether it was on the overnight or once we started partnering together here at BT on the Midday Show, I wish that it was a clean slate where once they made the decision to clean house, hire Shane, hire Dable, let them pick the quarterback.
Yeah.
Don't force Daniel Jones on them. And the worst thing that could happen was Daniel Jones went out there, had some success. They got to the playoffs, won a playoff game, and then they bought even further into Daniel Jones. Here we are in year three, and we still don't know what we have. We know that Daniel Jones isn't good enough. I think everybody's starting to get to that point now where we've known this for at least 3 years, maybe longer. But now it's like, oh, well, Jones isn't good enough. Okay, but what do we have with the head coach and the general manager now? Are they going to get to pick a new quarterback? Is this going to go on for another 3 years with these same guys?
Oh, boy. They're in a rough spot, man.
And I don't know if, if there's a way out anytime soon.
Well, not with the current quarterback. So they've got to make that determination fast. And the longer he plays, the more they mess around with something that could be very, very much of a problem next year in terms of basically $25 million with the injury guarantee. So they've got to make some cutthroat decisions. And I don't mean in December with 2 weeks to go. They got to start making them now.
Yeah.
And you go out there, you try to beat them. And it's not about laying down. It's not about, you know, losing on purpose. I can't stand when that's brought up because it's never going to infiltrate a locker room because guys don't care what you do in the draft next year because they care about themselves, okay? They don't care about the 21-year-old quarterback that by the time he's good and polished, they'll be somewhere else or retired. It does not impact their world, and their world is all that matters, understandably. But they've got, you know, at least they did wind up making the right Saquon Barkley decision. Now, it seemed like maybe emotionally the wrong one this past weekend because of what went down. The Giants, and listen, we do have to give Mara a little credit because he could have shoved Saquon down their throat. Now, I think he complicated their thought process and kind of muddied their thoughts and maybe chipped away at their conviction and made their brains a little congested unnecessarily, but they let him make the call. Now Daniel Jones has to sit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.